month, I had the opportunity to minister in 10 different assemblies there, traveling 4,000 kilometers inside Korea with my interpreter and another brother who is in charge of all the meetings and program. And the Lord helped me to deliver 50 formal messages and numerous informal discussional seminars and sessions with God's people. Apart from the special meetings in the assemblies, there were three major camps and conferences. One was the National Sisters Conference of the Korean assemblies, and 300 sisters gathered together for their annual conference. Then there was a special retreat for an assembly school teachers, and that seminar also was a great blessing to me and also to them. Then probably the most important was a gospel camp, sharing the gospel with foreign workers and students in Korea. So this is an annual event that happens twice a year, that they try to reach out to Chinese nationals, few Africans, Nepalese, and few others from different parts of the world who have settled in Korea for their work or for their studies. And most of them have not known the Lord as their Savior, so they are brought to this camp and they stay there with our people in a very friendly atmosphere, and the gospel is shared to them, a lot of question answer interaction, and it was a wonderful time. So though it was very, very hectic, you know, Koreans are workaholics, so they won't give you any rest and any free time. So that really was a challenge for me, even though I have traveled and ministered in different parts of the world. Korea is always very hectic, but the Lord gave me the grace and the blessing and the endurance. And your prayer was a great blessing and a great support to me. I deeply appreciate that. Every day they fed me with very good food and above all with their special ginseng treatment. So probably that also gave me great energy. Ginseng tea, ginseng drink, ginseng tonic, and ginseng tablets. So that is everywhere you go, day and night. That is always is presented to you. And even if it doesn't taste very good, they compel you to take it. So now I am used to it. So they say that it has been a great source of spiritual, physical energy and strength for their ancestors for thousands of years. So it is really good. And they really believe it. And probably it works. It's something good. So I had the pleasure of enjoying that also during my trip. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer as we expound His holy word? Loving Father, we thank Thee for bringing me safely nearly after a month to my home assembly here in ELBC and the joy of worshiping Thee together with the brothers and sisters here. We thank You for the wonderful privilege of representing You and serving You in different parts of the world and to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be a teacher of the wonderful Word of God. We thank You that our partnership in the work of the Lord is being blessed every day for me and also for others, and it is a blessing to this assembly. Thank You for using this assembly in various ways for Your glory. We pray that as we now look into Your holy word, pray that Thou may open the word to us and show the wonderful truths that we may be blessed, challenged, and edified. And if there is anyone here today who does not know Thee as his or her personal Savior, that person may come to know Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We commit this time to You in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall we turn to the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. These are very, very familiar verses, and probably most of us know this by heart. But I would like to do an exposition of this passage and to see what the Lord has to teach us practically from this passage. 1 John chapter 2, I will read from verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The title I have given to my sermon this morning is The Love That God Hates. God is a God of love. That is John's description of God. John further tells us that God is a God of light. And then John also reminds us that God is a God of life. So God is love, God is light, and God is life. And those who are related to this God, those who are born into the family of God through their faith in Jesus Christ, they share in this love and in this light and in the power of the everlasting life also. So John is so excited that that is his experience, and he very delightfully and very powerfully invites others also to participate in this blessed experience. Now, John is generally known as an apostle of love. Paul is called the apostle of faith, Peter is called the apostle of hope, and John is generally known as the apostle of love. Now, the Gospel of John is called the Gospel of Love. And the first letter of John from which I read this morning is John's love letter to the church, as some Bible scholars have called it. So, Gospel of Love and John's love letter, because this letter is all about love. In the Gospel of John, the word love occurs 57 times, and in this first epistle, the word love occurs 46 times. And John is the one among the New Testament writers who uses this word more than any other writer. So it is all about love. The love of God is perfect, it is perennial, and it is permanent. Love of God, our love for God is made complete through our obedience to Him. Our belief should be matched by our loving obedience to Him. These are some of the basic things John teaches in this epistle. Now, this apostle of love gives us a warning about a wrong kind of love. We seldom think about wrong kinds of love, because love is a very, very popular word. Even people today, people call lust love, an infatuation is called love, obsession in a negative sense with something is called love. Covetousness is also kind of called love. Greed, people call love. Tolerance of evil and support of anything illegal, immoral, and insane, our politicians called love. So all these are called love in the world. Young people use it loosely. Older people use it loosely. Politicians, when they talk about love, most of them do not have any idea about what they are talking about. So love is a very, very misused word today. Has become a very cheap word and a very meaningless word. But it is the most precious word in human vocabulary. It is the sweetest word. It is the most precious word. And John, in his writings, especially in this epistle, talks about loving God and loving others and about the nature of the love of God. The most precious verse in the Bible is a verse of God's love. In John 3:16, we have right here, and all of us know that by heart, written by Apostle John. Now, John is talking about true love, God's love, perfect love, permanent love, perennial love, sacrificial love, self-giving love, the most enjoyable love, love in its purity, love in its holiness, love in its dignity, love in its beauty. But John also tells us that there is a wrong kind of love. And he gives us a warning about that love. So the first thing which I want us to know in this passage is that this is a warning about a wrong type of love. And the wrong type of love is a love that God hates. That's why I titled it, The Love That God Hates. God is a God of love. But God hates a particular type of love, because that is very distinct from his character. And that is the love of the world. So, what is this world? So, in verse 15, we read, do not love the world or the things that belongs to the world. Do not love the world or the things that belongs to the world, or the things in the world, in a literal sense, that belongs to the world. If you look at verses 15, 16, and 17, the word cosmos, world, occurs 6 times. You can see that. In the New Testament, this word occurs 186 times. And 23 times, it occurs in the first epistle of John. The numerous times in the Gospel of John. So, 23 times John uses the word love in the first epistle of John. And in these 3 verses, he uses it 6 times. Now, what does the word world means? Because John tells us, do not love the world. The word world is used in 3 senses in the Bible. So it is very important for us to know, when John gives us a warning that do not love the world, what does he really mean by that? The first meaning is the world of nature. This beautiful creation, the created world. And we should love the world. We should protect the created world. We should enjoy its natural beauty. And we should glorify God, who is the creator of this beautiful cosmos. So that is not the meaning of it here. And it is very evident. The second meaning, God so loved the world. So if God can love the world, we can also love the world. So there the meaning is the world of humanity, the inhabited earth of mankind. So that is the second sense in which the Bible uses the word world. In that sense also, we should love the world. We should love people. We should love humanity. We should love mankind. So there is a third sense in which the Bible uses the word. That is in a moral or in an ethical sense. That is, it is an ordered arrangement of world system controlled by the devil, and it is a sinful system, always opposing God and Christ and the truth of God and his people and his church. So that is the meaning of the word world here. An evil system. The word cosmos itself means an ordered system, an arrangement. You know, it is from that we get the word cosmetics. So it is an arrangement. It is a system. And this system is controlled by the devil, a world system that aligns with Satan in opposition to God, in its values, in its culture, in its outlook, in its standard. That can be seen in every culture, civilization, and society, education, politics, in every ideology. A system dominated by evil, in opposition to God, in opposition to Christ, and in opposition to the gospel. So it is that world system, an evil system shattered by the fall of man. That is what we call the world in this verse. So it is an evil world system. In the same book, if you come with me to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So that's very evident. The whole world, this world system, lies under the control of the evil one. So do not allow that world system. Do not allow those values. Do not follow after the standards of this system, its philosophy, its outlook, its worldview that God hates, that kind of love. If I love that system, that is a wrong love. God hates that love, and the love of the Father is not in me. Second part of verse 15, if anyone loves the world, this system, the love of the Father is not in him. That means if a person is constantly in love, obsessed with this world system, the reason is that he might not have even known the Father. He may not be even a believer. He might not have known the real love of the Father. Now, that may not be true of most of us. You know, when we love this world and the world system knowingly or unknowingly, it hinders our fellowship with God. It hinders our spiritual vitality, our power, our spiritual strength will be drained because of this world system. So a love which God hates, that is loving this world system which is under the sway and control, dominated by the evil one, and it perpetuates evil values, evil things against God. Do not love this world. It's a warning. It is a dangerous thing. It is a wrong kind of love, and God hates this love, and we must also. God hates this love, and we must also. It is dangerous, and it is something which God hates. It hinders our fellowship with God, and it may be also a sign that the people who are always in love with this world system might have never experienced the love of the Father. Let us read verse 15 again. Do not love the world. So I explain to you what is the world or the things that belongs to this system. And if anyone loves the world, this system of evil, the possibility is that it may be a sign that that person might not have really understood, appreciated, enjoyed, or experienced the love of the Father. Now, when John makes this statement, he gives us a reason why we should not love this world, this evil system. He gives three reasons. You know, that is the beauty of Bible exposition. You don't have to find anything from anywhere. It is in the text. So, it is always my joy to expound the Word of God, because that is what God has revealed. This is what is important to God. And this should be important to us. And we should know it, we should understand it, and we should apply that. So John is saying, do not love the world. And we found out, we understood the meaning of this word world, cosmos, an evil system. Now John gives us three reasons why we should not love this evil system. The first one we already discussed to an extent, because do not love the world because, number one, it is an evil system. There is nothing good in it. It is because it is an ordered arrangement dominated by the devil, under the control of the evil one. Its values, its outlook, its worldview, its philosophy, its standards, its teachings are all bad, because it comes from that evil system. Sometimes it appears good, but the root is evil. Sometimes it is alluring, but the root is evil, because it comes from a shattered system completely ruined by the depravity of man and the fall in the Garden of Eden. So why we should not love the world? The first one reason is it is an evil system. The second reason, verse 16, because of its evil devices. This world system, we should not love it because it is an evil system. It will never do you any good. You are chasing the wind. Number two, because of its evil devices. Then John explains, what are those evil devices? Three things are mentioned here: the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Do not love the world, a prohibition. And this prohibition has three reasons given by John. Number one, it is an evil system. Number two, because of its evil devices. The first device is the lust of the flesh. Without me explaining it, the meaning is very, very clear. You know, undue, the word lust, epithumia, that desire, an obsession, an attraction, and a strong desire. A craving will be a better translation. The cravings of the flesh, of the physical body, the temptations, you know, and all the things that come from our sinful flesh in a bad sense, toward prohibited things, toward things that are wrong, things that God has prohibited, whether it is in the area of sex, whether it is in the area of any other thing, any craving of the flesh that is prohibited by the Lord, whether it is for substance addiction, whether it is for alcoholism, whether it is for other sinful practices and habit-forming practices, whether it is for gluttony, whatever be it, anything, the lust of the flesh, the wrong desires that come from our sinful flesh, that is a powerful device Satan uses to trap people today. Do not love the world because it is an evil system. Number two, do not love the world because of its evil devices. And three evil devices. The first one is the lust of the flesh. The second one, the lust of the eyes, that I want to get everything what I see. I want to possess, I want to get everything what I see. Greed and envy and extravagance. What we see around us awakens our sinful craving to possess it. That is the lust of the eyes. And the third one, the pride of life. That is the arrogant desire to be recognized by others, to compete with others, to be in the front, to be in the first, because of our pride, to gratify our ego, our selfishness. So the success status identity for which people crave today, and they are willing to do anything in life, in marriage, in business, in career, because they want to be like someone else. They want to beat someone else. They want to be recognized by others. They want to be in the high ladder of the society and want to have what others have. And sometimes, why John is writing this to believers? Because this is a temptation that is common to all of us. It is applicable to me and also applicable to you. And this can happen at the expense of our family, our marriage, our relationship. We want to have something more. And we are losing what we are gaining. We are losing through the other end, but we never understand it. We never recognize it. Sometimes it will be too late. Evil devices, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Or in other words, pleasure, profit, and power. Pleasure, profit, and power. Look at our world today. Look at all the corporations today. Look at all what is going on around us today. It is all centered around pleasure, profit, and power in a wrong sense. In the right sense, there is nothing wrong in it. But most of the time, not most of the time, all the time, because John tells it is an evil device. And it is very difficult for God's children to survive the attack of these devices. That is why we fail in our marriage, in our family, in our commitment to the assembly, in our ministries, in spiritual priorities, because pleasure, profit, and power, sensuality, success, and status, it always pulls people, evil devices. So we have to be very, very careful. John is saying that our God is a God of love. We should be people of love. But there is a particular kind of love which God hates. And that is the love of the world. Now the Bible is not teaching asceticism. It is not calling us to run away from the world. You know, the Lord Jesus taught us to be the light of the world and to be the salt of the earth. And the Lord is not taking in his high priestly prayer, I'm not praying that thou should take them out of the world, but they should be in the world, unstained by the world. So we are in the world. This is where we are born. This is where we have to study. This is where we have to do business. This is where we have to be involved in our career and our profession, in our ministry. But at the same time, protecting ourselves from all these evil devices and to have the right kind of love for others and above all for our God. So, do not love the world because it is an evil system. Number two, because of its evil devices. Now, these evil devices are the permanent devices of Satan. He never changes that. He doesn't even modify that, doesn't update it. It is already an updated system. The devil has already updated it. It is every day, he is not really updating, you know. There may be new and new temptations, but in its core, these devices he has already updated. For example, in the Garden of Eden, look at the first temptation Adam and Eve faced. He found that this fruit was good for food. Lust of the flesh, delight to the eyes, lust of the eyes, desirable to make one wise, pride of life. Did you see that? In Genesis 3, these are the three devices Satan employed. This is good for food, very attractive, delight to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate. Now, when Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, same strategy, not at all different. You command the stones to become bread. Lust of the flesh, satisfy your hunger apart from the will of God. Lust of the flesh. Then Satan took him to a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms and the glories of the world. Lust of the eyes. The third one, he took him to the pinnacle of the temple. If you fall down and worship me, I will give you all this, the pride of life. Dear friends, no change. No change. It is updated. It is always updated. It started in the Garden of Eden. And it was the same thing when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the centuries, for sinners and saints, this is the bait he puts. These are the baits he puts on my way every day and on your way. And the good news is the word of God gives us a warning that, Alex, don't love that, because it is a love that God hates. And it is an evil device. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. Look at the repetition of the word world 6 times in these 3 verses. Now, the third reason. So, do not love the world, a prohibition, with 3 reasons. The first reason, it is an evil system. Number 2, because of its evil devices. Number 3, because of its transitoriness. It is temporary. You are chasing the wind. It will be seen today and it will be gone tomorrow. Look at verse 17. And the world is disintegrating, passing away. Did you see that? Do not love the world because this world is passing away. Not that it will pass away. Sometimes when I have heard people quoting this verse, 1 John 2:17, the world will pass away. No, you are wrong. The word of God tells the world is passing away. It is in the present tense. It is even now. It is an ongoing process. It is happening now. The process has already started. And another thing, you know, the Greek language has a special voice called middle voice. English we have active and passive. But the Greek language has a middle voice. The middle voice means the action will happen within the subject. You know, for example, tongues shall cease by itself. No outer forces or outer agency is needed. The action happens within. So that is the same voice here. So let us see, that adds to the meaning of the sentence. And the world is passing away. That means the world is destroying itself from within. Self-destructiveness of our culture and civilization. That is what John is talking about. Even though he wrote it 2,000 plus years ago, he is the most contemporary writer. He is saying that the human civilization, human culture, human system, human values, under the dominion and domain and sway and control of the evil one, is being destroyed every day. How? From within itself, the self-destructive process is already happening. It is disintegrating. That is why families are disintegrating. That is why marriages are disintegrating. That is why morality is disintegrating. That is why ethics is disintegrating. That is why total degeneration and disintegration happening. Don't be surprised. There is no surprise, John is saying. He has written 2,000 plus years ago that, you know, this world system, it will pass away in itself. So, what is John teaching us? The danger of the world, the destiny of the world. But look at the last part of verse 17. But there is a contrast. That's the good news. He who does the will of God abides forever. The permanence, the blessing, the lasting destiny. See, three things are here. The danger of the world, the danger, the destiny of the world is disintegrating. And finally, the destiny of the believer, that he abides forever because he is committed to doing the will of God. And that is our calling, recognizing the will of God. Romans 12:2, by the transformation of our mind, knowing, recognizing, proving the will of God and being committed to the will of God. Only one group will survive this world system. That is, he who does the will of the Father. So every day of our life, we are called that we should be committed to proving, knowing, recognizing the will of God for our life and do that will and walk in that will. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, that is what he prayed. Not my will, but your will be done. Are you conscious of God's will for your life, in your daily life, in your decision? John tells that person, and that person is the only one who will abide forever. He will not take part in this destruction and disintegration. It will have no effect upon him, even though he is in the world, in the midst of that system. He will not be touched by its disintegrating influence. He will last forever. What a wonderful passage. What a wonderful admonition. Be actively engaged in doing the will of God. I want to close by John's Gospel chapter 6, verse 40. The foremost will of God. There are, in every area of our life, we have to prove the will of God. But John 6:40 tells us the revealed will of God, the foundational will. What is that? John 6:40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. What is God's will for you? Several areas, several things. In several areas, we need to recognize God's will. But the foremost will is that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the foremost will. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may be saved and have everlasting life. And that is the foundation of that life. And from that foundation, our Christian life is built up. And in that Christian life, in relation to that Christian life, John gives us the warning. There is a particular kind of love that God hates. And that is the love of the world. The reason, three reasons. Because it is an evil system. Second reason, because of its evil devices. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And number three, because of its transitoriness, its self-disintegration, its self-destructiveness. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the power and clarity of your holy word. And this morning, what a joy, what a privilege for us to study from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Pray that these words may become a great blessing to each one of us, that each one of us may be committed to doing the will of the Father, that we may stand against this evil world and its system, that it may not affect us in any area of our life. Give us victory in your name. If there is anyone here today who has not really trusted Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, pray that that soul, that person may know that the greatest will of the Father, the foundational will, is to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So we pray that that person may embrace Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. Make this word a word of blessing to this assembly, to young and old, to be aware of the danger of a wrong kind of love, a love that God hates, and help us to hate that kind of love and to be vigilant and to nourish the right kind of love toward thee and toward one another. We thank you that thou hast blessed us together this morning. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.